We'll try from here, Dan, and we'll see how that goes. So we'll have to turn some, but a couple months into my first call, planned to hold a housewarming reception after my installation. Kitchen committee helped a great deal because I was a 30-year-old clueless male. 29, actually, yeah. And coming from, I came from a seminary where the wine flowed pretty freely, okay? I asked if people might appreciate beer or wine at the housewarming, and the answer was immediate, absolutely not. And thus, I was introduced to Lutheran teetotalers. I hadn't heard of such a thing before, but the longer I served there, the more I understood. There was a reason that many of them didn't touch the stuff. Many of these folks had a family history of alcoholism. They'd seen a family member's life destroyed. Many of them, ironically enough, also had a family recipe for dandelion or some kind of fruit wine that had been passed down through generations, but I digress. That didn't mean they didn't know how to have a good time. They knew that the most important element of any social gathering was love, expressed best with a thick slice of sugar cream pie, which is exactly what it sounds like. And that love is present at the wedding in Cana in magnificent abundance. On the surface, this miracle seems, as the kids say, a little sus. Jesus is told by his mother that the host, I'm getting that look. That was designed for that, so that's all right. A little sus. Jesus is told by his mother that the host of the wedding have run out of wine. Now that might be a mild disappointment today. No one's going to suffer lasting social shame for running out of Cabernet Sauvignon. But in Jesus' day, running out of wine at a celebration would be a gigantic social embarrassment. Few things would be more unbearable for a family in a small community than being unable to provide for one's guests. And Jesus seems to brush off his mother's words. He's pretty curt with her. It's true that the address woman is not necessarily rude. It would be kind of a rough equivalent to ma'am. It is a little unusual, though, for Jesus to address his mother as such, and I can just imagine the look on my mother's face if I called her ma'am. It would be And it's odd that his response is so curt. It's not my time, he says. It's not time, he objects, for him to reveal himself to the world. It's not time, he objects, for God's plan to be set into motion. But Mary knows her son. She knows who he is, and she knows what he can do. And she knows that it's time. So she does the most motherly thing of all and brings others into the conversation. Do whatever he tells you, she tells the servants, presumably within his earshot. I can imagine her saying this with a bit of a smile. This is a gentle, motherly push. Be who I know you are. And Jesus takes the hint. He has the servants fill up the jars used for purification rites, and these jars are absolutely massive. 180 gallons or so in all. He tells them to draw some out, take it to the chief steward, which might have been, say, the equivalent of a chief sommelier, if you've ever gone to those kinds of restaurants, or a maitre d'. And as soon as he takes a sip, he realizes something is off. And you can see that in the artwork that I have by the Italian painter Paolo Veronese. Look at his face, holding the wine there. He's just kind of stunned. What is this? This is really, really good. Stunned by the quality of the wine. And it shows in his reaction to the groom. Everyone serves the good stuff first. Then when the guests are happy, let's just say, then you bring out the rot gut you have lying around. Because who cares? Why did you keep the good wine until now? So it's an odd miracle on the surface. Jesus is gently pushed into making wine for wedding guests who are probably already a couple or three sheets to the wind, who probably won't appreciate it, to save an ignorant groom's reputation. But when we look deeper, when we get past the literal, we see the depth of the blessing. The wine is the least important part of this story. What is important is the blessing of human community. God's blessing of human community. Specifically, the beloved community of God. The next 7 weeks, we're going to be talking a little more with these texts about God's beloved community, the church. The truth is that God is radically, wildly, even wastefully abundant in his gifts to us. We have so much. We are so blessed, especially at this community of faith at Shalom Lutheran Church. Sometimes we can be tempted to think with a scarcity mindset. We can get sidetracked on what we lack. We can start playing the if only game. If only we had more members. If only our budget looked a little better. If only we had a better looking pastor. Or a better looking, never mind. Or a better looking Sam, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That wasn't in the script. I just saw you. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you are better looking, for sure. All right. We have, if we had what those folks at XYZ Church have. We can also get sidetracked by fear of the future or grievance about the past. Those things can send us off the rails really quickly. And when we get sidetracked in those ways, we miss how God has richly blessed us, has blessed you and me, not just individually, not just our families, but our community of faith as well. We have so much here. Paul writes about how God equips the saints for the common good in our reading from 1 Corinthians. We have, and I'm willing to stake this, that we have the best amateur praise band in Douglas County. You're pretty good. And you're all doing it for the love of the Lord. No one except Sam is getting a paycheck up there. You know. We have great staff who work hard and get along. Most of the time. Wink, wink. Yeah. We have a talented, capable council. We have committees with dedicated people who strive to serve the Lord in their area. We have people who are computer and tech savvy. We do. We have those who visit sick and homebound members. We have others who work with children and youth. We have others who mentor them. We have people who are so generous. We even have someone who gives great hugs, although I don't think she's here today, unfortunately. But some of you give good hugs too, but one always stands out. We have, and it is here every Sunday, that Jesus blesses us in word and sacrament. Jesus gives us the new wine, so to speak, here. In this place, the new wine of his love for us personally, as well as for the whole creation. Jesus truly gives grace upon grace. It's what it says in John chapter 1. He sends his Spirit, which each one of you, each one of us, makes known to everyone else for the common good. If you take away nothing from today, take away this. God's Spirit works uniquely in every one of you, in every one of us. God's Spirit is living, busy, active. Every one of us, in that way, is living Scripture. You are a living testament to the